Catholic Church gave my parents, myself and my two younger siblings a holiday on Cody Island. I don't really remember much about that time. I remember being left on Cody for 3 months and living in the private section of the Abbey and playing in the Abbey garden, which I couldn't get out because of the door and the big vault up top. Then I came home and the abuse followed me from Father Thaddeus and another priest, Father Charles Jeffries, and it was allowed to happen in my own bed when my parents were downstairs. The next time I went to Caldy, I was 9 years old. I became an altar boy, so they sent me over as a treat. The abuse on Caldy continued on and off for 3 years. But the abuse...
What years was that?
It was 1968, when I first went to six. And then I went again at when I was 9 years old. And then I stopped going just before I was 12. But the abuse had followed me home from Father Charles and that, and Father Thaddeus. And Father Charles used to take me up to Sussex to be gang raped by Bishop Ball and others for weeks on end. And I spent more time up in Sussex than I did at home. My sister was also abused on Cody Island, Rebecca. And I always remember that day. For the rest of my life, she came running to me on the beach. It was a horrible time. But what I saw there was industrial abuse of children, not just by monks and priests, but men coming on the island who knew it was a safe haven to commit child abuse. And it's been going on for decades since. And people say, is it still happening today? I say yes, because we had an anonymous letter a few months back saying that abuse was still happening. It was forwarded to the police, but the police never replied to us, as usual. In 2017, I came out about the abuse, because one reason only, because the girls that came out were not believed about their abuse by Father Thaddeus, etc. So I came out about mine because they were telling the truth. I went to the police with my story, and the police basically ignored me. But with the help of local MP Ben Lake, they'd done some sort of investigation, which he said there was a 99% probability that I was abused by Cody Island. They wouldn't look into Father Charles's abuse, because that was Sussex police, who didn't want to know anyway. Because the police were letting me down, I started this campaign in 2019 after a programme on S4C about Cody Island.
And what's the name of the campaign? What's the name of your campaign?
It's Cody Island Survivors Campaign. It was set up by me after my programme on S4C and BBC One in 2019 called The Dark History of Cody Island about the abuse. We tried to get a public inquiry, and the Welsh Assembly kept refusing, even though they told me to get over 500 signatures and they'll put it towards the Assembly. I got 5,000 signatures. I stood in Newquay, Cardigan, everywhere, but I got them within a year. And I gave them to Ben Lake, and we presented them to the Welsh Assembly, and they just threw them back in our face, basically. They were not interested, even though Britain was doing a Catholic Church children's abuse inquiry. They would not include Cody Island, which is very, very strange. When I started the campaign, a few people then did come and help me, because Meg Lake was always there, and he is there today if I need him. And a woman called Dina Mulholland came on, and Jonathan Evans from New Quay Boat as a committee. And the campaign has grown so much. It's huge. People all over the world. I've been on podcasts in America. I've been on the BBC News twice. I've been in the Daily Mail online lately, and that's a huge write-up about it.
How many other survivors?
Yes. And that's what I come into now, is that since the campaign, at the beginning there was those four girls, that now there's 58 survivors I know of, and growing every week. It is becoming massive, absolutely huge. They're from all over the world. And this is the great thing about the campaign. The Cawley Island and the police thought I'd go away and shut up, but no, I'm the voice of these survivors.
Why do you think the Welsh Government isn't following it up?
The Welsh Government are saying there's no new evidence about abuse on Cawley Island. But excuse me, there is, you know, but you're not looking at it. And because there's so much to hide on Cawley Island, because MPs lived on there during the time I was abused, and the police officer lived there as well, you know.
What MPs?
Pembrokeshire MPs at the time.
Well, who were they?
Well, if you look it up, you can find them.
What year was that?
Late 70s, early 80s, two MPs lived on the island. Now, remember, Pembrokeshire has
two consecutive Pembrokeshire MPs, you're saying, come to the island.
Lived on Cawley Island.
And they took part.
Pardon?
And they took part in.
I have no idea.
You don't know?
I don't know, no. But what I do know is Pembrokeshire is cut into two, there's north and south. So the north and south Pembrokeshire had houses on Cawley Island, homes. And so did a policeman from Tenby had a home on Cawley Island at the time. So nobody can tell me that nobody knew about it, because a policeman knows anyway, you know, but everything was, they looked away. These children in the thousands were abused, and nobody cared at all. And that's, you know, that's my biggest worry, is even today, you know, you think to yourself, children from all over the world went there, religious children.
You spoke about the industrial abuse of children.
Industrial abuse, yes. Thousands. If I had to estimate, I don't know.
At the same time, but not at the same time.
Yeah.
Not thousands.
Well, a lot of it at the same time, but this abuse carried on. I can trace to 1990s, but at the moment it seems it's still carrying on as well, because I received a letter saying that one monk is showing his private parts to vulnerable adults. So the abuse is still carrying on, but nobody will listen. So what's happening at the moment, Cawley Island has paid for a independent review by Janice Pickles, OBE. Now, she's doing all the work, finding out about things. Cawley Island, a few weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, on BBC Wales News, live admitted they've made mistakes in the past. But the problem is, they want to run the safeguarding, and I refuse.
The monks?
Yes, and people connected to Cawley, and also the police. That's what happened before. I don't want the Catholic Church involved. I want an independent team staying on Cawley Island during summer holidays.
So you're sure that the Catholic Church is still responsible for safeguarding on Cawley Island?
They're supposed to be, but it's the only place in Britain that hasn't got proper safeguarding. They haven't got it. What they need is independent safeguarding on the island, run by a children's charity or something, and that on, because Coney Island owned every house, they could give them a house free and pay them whatever, you know. That is the thing. Anyway, some of these victims I've known for a while now, and new ones, have been to Divett Powys Police, made a statement. I've got their crime references numbers, right? And the police have not followed one of them up, not one of them, right? And I know for a fact that one of these people were taken up, taken during the night by Father Tadeus, because I got a live witness who saw that, who tried to take him too. The police haven't even bothered to look at this. This child is from Cardiff Church and Cardigan Parish Church, a Catholic Church, because it's the sister church of England. I know that children from Cardigan Church were going to Coney Island. So the same thing was happening with children who were going from Cardigan Parish Church. The thing is, these people now, I know it's difficult, they need to come forward, they need to contact me or whatever. I don't send any victim to Divett Powys Police. I tell them to contact Hydrant, Operation Hydrant, who dealt with Jimmy Savile and that lot, because what they do, they have the information, they pass it down the line to Divett Powys Police, but they have a follow-up procedure and a crime reference, so it's better than going to Divett Powys Police. But Divett Powys Police now have got to act on something. I don't know what. I refuse to talk to them. They treated me and my wife disgusting after that program came out. They seized my shopping license. I've never been in trouble in all my life. I've had it for 30 years. They harassed me and Carol, and it was terrible. Then luckily, three top lawyers in the country, top men, came on board free, and they stopped the police from harassing me. And I'm turned now since 2021. The thing is that the police failed, and still failing, the victims. Because I still see them as victims, not survivors, because you're a victim all your life. And I will not stop. I'm the voice of my sister, I'm the voice of the survivors. I will not stop until there is proper, independent safeguarding on Coney, or close it down.
And there needs to be an investigation as well, an independent investigation, is that what you think?
Yes, but at the moment, but it's not, it's got no legal form. Whatever the lady finds, it's not legal. So in a sense, it helps the survivors or victims, but it changes nothing on Coney. There's no legal status, and that's the problem. There's no legal, and that's why it's got to be independent, because you can't trust the monks, you can't trust anybody connected to Coney Island, you can't trust the police or the Catholic Church, so it's got to be independent. And I will fight and fight and fight for that. I am winning. Last year, I won the right that all religious people on Coney Island must be DBS checked, police checked, and that has happened. And now I'm pushing, and I think it's starting to happen now, that all volunteers on Coney Island who run the shop or whatever have to be DBS checked, because they're vulnerable and vulnerable adults and children around. And anywhere else in Britain, you'd have to be DBS checked. They're still living in the 16th century, you know, and that's the problem with them. I don't think they can ever move up into the 21st century, because people say, but there's only a handful of monks there. They don't realise that Coney Island is a holy island. People go there on the holy island from all over the world, preachers, religious people, priests, monks. It could have hundreds there in a week, and that was the problem back then. You hardly ever saw the second attacker other than Father Tadeus, because there'd be a new lot over, and that was all the time changing over, and that's a problem. The children on the beach were picked up. They were like vultures on the beach, just taking children. I seen it. They just take children all day long. Nobody to protect us. Parents weren't allowed over. That's number one mistake. The people looked after us were nuns, priests and monks, and the nuns were just as bad. They just turned away. And that was the problem. It was a religious, supposed to be a religious retreat. It was a religious nightmare from the time you got on that island to the time you got on.
And you think that nightmare's still going on?
Oh yes, guaranteed. It'll never stop unless things change. We need a public inquiry. And the thing is, this review that's going on is one more step towards it. It's one more big step towards it. Now, I spoke to my lawyer, David Greenwood, top lawyer, abuse lawyer in Britain, and he said, give him my evidence and, you know, don't hold anything back. So they've had over 3,000 papers of evidence.
How many witnesses, how many survivors do you think are willing to provide evidence?
I don't know. There's a lot out there. And the thing is that out of the 58, because one came on yesterday, out of the 58, maybe a dozen of them are ready to come out and come out. People take time. One I hadn't heard for 2 years and has come back to me. And that's right. The more they see something developing, the more likely they are to come on board. Now,
do you think there's hundreds more?
Thousands. Thousands. Absolutely thousands. If I guess 10, 20, 30,000, we're talking about on the worst time of Coney Island is Easter time, because it's the holiest part of the church, not Christmas, Easter. And there could be 600-700 children on that island on that day, staying. Okay? And then rest of the summer, it's just packed with children doing retreat from Catholic Church. And the people that go there are the, like my parents, they were poor. They were poor. The church was giving them clothes, money, second-hand toys for Christmas. And we were the payback, because we were vulnerable. And that's why my parents never put a stop to it. My mother, I never spoke to my mother for 30-odd years because she would not admit it. Because she was, my father died young, but my mother, she would never admit it. And so we never spoke for 30-odd years, and she passed away now. But that's the way how the Catholic Church has got a hold on people. The other thing about the Catholic Church, because they are a part of the Catholic Church called the Island, the Cistercians, which is an off branch of the Catholic Church, is that when they commit, say, child abuse, they go to confession. And they do the confession and be told to say 6 Hail Marys, and that crime is gone, that's finished. So they can go out and commit another crime and carry on like that, because every time they commit a crime and go to confession, it's not a crime anymore. And that's what the Catholic Church allows. It's totally wrong that these people say they've abused children and they are forgiven. But not by God, by these monks or priests. And then they go out, do it again, and do it again. And it's the Catholic Church have got so much to answer. I went to the Pope 2 years ago, he never replied.
Have you tried writing to any bishops? The Archbishop?
Nobody wants to know.
What other members of the church have you written to?
I've written to Miniva in Swansea, who is head of the Catholic Church in Wales. They said to me in an email that Coney Island say they retain the right to oversee any past, present and future child abuse. And I've got the email to that. That's disgusting. That's horrible to say that. I haven't really started on David Barrett's piece yet, because their failures are absolutely a nightmare. I wrote to the Chief Constable and asked him to come on board, the new Chief Constable, and he refused. But then I thought to myself, well, he's probably more interested in tea and biscuits than safeguarding children on Coney Island. You know, because that should be his main concern. Because one of his concerns on telly is domestic abuse. He wants to eradicate it in 10 years. But anybody would know domestic abuse, most of it comes from childhood abuse or whatever abuse. And yet, you know, that's where he should be looking at protecting children, getting children the help they need. I doubt it'll ever happen, because I won't talk to him. My team won't talk to him. But, you know, I don't think, you know, they're back, you know, I'm sorry, but they're backyard police force. Because I dealt with Sussex about 5 or 6 hours, and they were really, really helpful. You know, they couldn't do much. It was logged, it was properly done, you know. So if somebody else comes forward, it's there. You know, and that's the thing. That's why I tend to go outside of the Mid-Powers Police with information if victims want to report it to police. There's several things they can do. I don't take on their problems. I have abuse, there's enough in my head. So I just advise them, you know, report it or go to your doctor and get the help you need first. And then, you know, you don't have to do nothing, just get the help you need. Because I don't keep anything, because I don't trust the police. All these victims are numbered in my head, and that's the only way I can keep them safe from the police. It is horrible, you know, to think that. But, you know, sooner or later, they've got to stand up and answer to these survivors. Next month, I am meeting survivors from all over the globe. Next month, and we're getting massive. We usually meet once a month anyway, but it's getting bigger. People are flying in, it's getting huge. And eventually, we'll be so big that we will challenge them in the courts of law. We will take them to the human courts in childhood, because they treat the victims as suspects, and that's wrong.
How do they treat the victims as suspects?
They arrested me on false allegations. They treated my wife horrible. They treated me horrible. They raided my house and took photos of Coney Island files and that, which I had the hindsight to get out of the house anyway, empty boxes. But, you know.
Do you think other victims have been harassed like this?
I don't know. But they're scared. They're scared to come forward in case David Percy does give them harassment. And that's why they've got to either. There's a couple of choices. They can contact, if they're looking online, David Greenwood. Solicitors up in Yorkshire, they could write to him and tell him, and he will protect them. And that's the main thing, because I tell people, contact David, and then you're protected if the police give any hassle or something. And, you know, then you've got to take his steps, like I did. And I told him, you know, first thing I did was talk to family. I lost half the family, instantly, because they're Catholics. Then I went to see the doctor for help and that, and then I'm still on counselling after 5 years, because I feel I need it. He's there to talk to me, and because you can't just, you know, it's difficult, and survivors will know it's difficult to talk about it. So that's what the counsellor is. You get the first 2-3 years free anyway. It's not a lot each month, but it does help in that sense.
So you're still struggling with the effects of the abuse all these years on?
Yes, I'm still. We never had children because of it. And I'm a lot better now with counselling, but the nightmares I had, I'll tell you one nightmare. When I came back up from Goldie on the third time, I went to the church and Father Hyam was there, a nasty priest. Anyway, in confession, I told him, listen, you know, I got a problem. I feel disgusted with my body. I'm ashamed of my body. And he said, why? And I said, because they're not touching me and doing things in Coney Island. Anyway, when I went into vestry then to change into an altar boy, he took me to the corner. He said, Kevin, if you ever mention this again, 3 things will happen to you. First, God will turn his back. Secondly, the devil will come for you from underneath the bed through the mirror. I covered the mirror up until I was 40s. I wouldn't have a mirror in the bedroom. And the third one, a severed hand was climbing through the letterbox up the stairs, jumping on my bed and strangling me to death. How does that affect a young boy's mind? It's affected me all my life. I won't have a letterbox now. I know it won't happen, but my brain's happier than I haven't got a letterbox. I got an outside box. And The thing is, that's the way they keep you down, by scaring, intimidation. And even though my parents knew I needed help then, you know, I needed help then. And I became a loner, I became a different person. One Christmas I had, when I was 10 years old, I had a second-hand action man called Tom. Anyway, because my parents were horrible to me and the rest of the siblings, I decided, well, if I told Tom about it, you know, maybe it'll go away. So I told Tom the action man, and then I buried him in the garden, and he's still there today. I know where he is, at the garden in Tregoyth. And I've always said, you know, nothing changed, but Tom kept my secret. And that is really true. And because it was a horrible thing. If I mentioned anything, my mother used to make me drink neat bleach. I ended in a hospital a couple of times. She made me drink neat bleach, not soap.
Your mother would make you drink neat bleach if, yes, you if talked I mention, about abuse?
If I mentioned anything of abuse, you know, and that's the way we lived.
Because she didn't want to shame the Catholic Church?
The Catholic Church were giving her everything. She didn't want to challenge anyone of him. And she called me a liar and my sister a liar. The last time I went, my youngest brother came with me, and he made a statement on her. And Father Tadeusz wanted to take him. I said, no, I'd go with Father Tadeusz instead. I didn't want him to start on my brother. So, that, you know, so that's the way Father... I was getting too old for Father Tadeusz. And this isn't fully known about this, but I'll say it. On my last visit, I've always said this, that I think Father Charles tried to murder me. Right, the reason why. We're not allowed out at night in the dark because they used to say about the black monk ghost. That was scary enough. But I was found running away. Father Tadeusz following me. The bloke saw it through the window, I don't know who it was, came running out, trail of blood, me on the floor and Father Tadeusz over me, and a big head wound, and I still got it today there. When I woke up in some sort of infirmary, which I convinced is called the island. I woke up and my parents were there, and then when I woke up the next time, I was home. My parents didn't have a car for nothing, so how would they get back and forth? But if a child has had a, even if it, say it was an accident, which it wasn't, there would be follow-up with your doctor. My medical history, all my life, does not mention that. So that was hidden as well. There's not a note in my doctors about that. And I think it was all hidden. I am convinced today that Father Hyam, sorry, tried to kill me. And maybe he has killed people on there, I don't know. Maybe they are. You know, that's because amongst buried bodies and proper bodies, because I haven't got the land, you know. But that's the way.
The monks bury bodies on top of bodies?
Yes, because they haven't got the land.
So you're saying there's piles of bodies?
Yep, they bury bodies. They don't use caskets or coffins, they just chuck them in. And so there's bodies on top of the bodies because they haven't got the land. And that's a problem. You know, it's like an occult over there. Like an occult. And that's the problem, and that's why I really need, if anybody's out there and can hear this and they are a witness or a victim, please come forward, because we have this chance to sort this out.
You said that there was MPs there.
Yeah.
Do you think that there are any other... Do you think there are any other prominent individuals that were on the island during the time of abuse?
Yes, I know, for definite. I'm a very good investigator, that's why I got 3,000 piles. I investigated everyone on an island. I found the policeman lived there. I found the two MPs lived there, you know. And it's a small island. You cannot be that blind. You don't see what's going on. I'm a little child and I can see what's going on. At the beginning, I thought it was natural for men to do this to me. I honestly did.
So you think everyone that was living on the island was aware of what was going on?
Oh, yes, yes, guaranteed. Yes, they had to be. Father today, this was very clever. He used to take his children and me, if he was taking me, right through the woods at the back. He never went through the village, ever. And he said, he used to send me, he sent me letters saying this is a favourite place for us. Because that's how he used to keep the abuse going in your head. He sent me a photo of the dunes and saying this is our favourite place. I still got that photo today. I carried it all my life, even though I've been homeless. Because that was important to me, the show. And, you know, he would constantly write. But my parents used to take the letters off me when I read them. But they made a mistake. They left a postcard to the side. And I put it down there and I carried it 50 years everywhere. I never left it. And that is the difference. I needed that. I don't need to prove anything, but I needed that to show people this is what's happening. This has been happening for decades and decades. This could have been happening for hundreds of years. Coney Island used to be a home for orphan boys. It used to be a school there. And the last time I went back in 2022, I sneaked back over there. I wore a hat and a walking stick and I went over there because one reason. During the winter, the monks were abusing the island children as young as 3 years old. And that victim is on my, I meet her every month. And 3 years old, father today, it was waiting to abuse her when she was walking home to home. And her parents did not want to know. And that is the problem today. How many children were abused by Father Today as an old. But people say, oh, Kevin, but it's only Father Today. They said, no. When Father Today was abusing me, there'd be up to 12 months watching. And I know it was masturbating over me. And then they took this T-shirt off me because they'd done that. And I got into trouble at home because that was the best T-shirt. And the police didn't understand that. But that was the abuse. It wasn't just Father Today. It was whoever wanted to do whatever they wanted to children freely.
And you think that same level of industrial abuse is going on now and everyone knows?
I think the abuse is still going on. It's probably better hidden. But if a child is abused today, it might take him 50 years. Or one of those 50 years, come on, like me. You know, we've got to think that there is nothing stopping it happening. The police refused to patrol Coney Island. Every seaside resort in Britain is patrolled by police. They refuse, in front of Ben Lake MP, to patrol Coney Island. They refuse to put a helpline in Coney Island.
There's no helpline, police helpline, yeah. And there's no police presence.
I wanted them to put a phone there, you know, directed the police. No, they refused. They refused to patrol there, even though. And a special policeman, they're free on day, they could just put them on the island and obviously not costing them anything. They refuse to, in front of Ben Lake. And that's what we're dealing with the police. You know, it is horrific the way they deal with things like that. I don't understand how they... It's a shame. Everybody should shout at them, shame on them, because it is a shame. And I've always said, if I can find out 100%, one victim that's been abused in the last few years, then we could just go straight to court.
If you could talk to the people at David Powers Police, who make the decisions, what would you say to them?
They need to do a full-on investigation into historic and modern abuse on Coney Island. Not go up, not go around one day and go, oh, okay, that's nice. I need to do a full-on, with other authorities to make sure they don't know, like social service and things like that, they need to get their act together because eventually this campaign, I know they're worried about the campaign, this campaign will get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, I estimate 10 million people know about this campaign worldwide. I've had people from Africa telling me that they've seen the program and the campaign, you know, and I think that's massive with the internet today. You know, you type in Cordia Islands, my abuse comes up first in Google, you know, Cordia Island campaign. And Cordia Island Survivors Campaign, because it's top deck. And that's brilliant, because people are seeing that before they say anything about Cordia Island. And that is really, really a good feather in the campaign's hat, you know. But I'd like to say something now. Social services, when I was abandoned twice by my parents, once at 1 year old and once at 2 years old, with my siblings at two. At the end of the day, because I was abandoned and sent back to my parents, I was put under the protection of the courts until I was 12 years old. I never knew this until I applied. And I was still abused. And I was under protection of courts and social services. That's how they fail people. I sent away for my a record and see if there was anything, and there's hundreds of pages of it. I never saw social services. They used to come to the house, have a cup of tea. There were two rooms. One for people were nice and tidy, and everyone we weren't allowed in one room. So you can see what it shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have happened. Social services and court of protection, they did nothing for me. Nothing. And my fear is the same today. I don't care if they haven't got the manpower. I don't care if they haven't got the money. They should make it available. Because children are the future. If they're affected today, it costs more in the future to help these people. And they don't see that. You know, I've got to get through that. I'm sure you'll be talking on it, that getting people from Carlington Parish to come forward. And if you can put on, do you put on the website as well, my email address and that, the campaign. And also, you can tell people I spent 26,000 as a group on me, even if it's a pound, it didn't matter, you know.
You need funding. You need more financial support.
Yes.
Do you need more volunteers on the campaign?
That would be nice, because I'm there on my own most of the time. Yeah. And the thing, it's not just chucking out leaflets. It's not about that. It's what I do. I got the campaign there, and if people come up to talk to me, they got a choice. I give them a leaflet. And if they don't want a leaflet, then they're not interested. That's fine. I've given out 50,000 leaflets since 2019, and I need another 2,000, I've just put order in. And that's where the cost goes, eh? You know, people do donate, whatever, but it doesn't cover everything, and because the website, because I pay for protein mail, which is top secure mail in America, and, you know, that's £30 a month, the website's 30 odd. So it's soon, the bills, you know, and so I do struggle, because my Carol is lovely, my wife. I said, do I need to fight this? I'll have to use my savings, you know, and I used up 20,000 of my savings.
What would you say to survivors of Coldy Island that haven't come forward?
That want to come forward. That haven't come forward. I'd say, please come forward. Because the more we are, the louder our voice. It helps everything. It's not about justice. It's getting the truth, getting the help you need, and finding out exactly what happened. And the more people that come on board, even as witnesses, the more likely we'll get a public inquiry. And then these authorities will have to answer. With survivors or victims, they don't have to give evidence in any inquiry. Nobody asks them to. Their statement's enough. They do not stand up and give evidence. But I am. I volunteer to do that because I need my say. I need to ask the police questions, so social services, monks, priests, whatever. I want to be there standing up and saying, why? And I will do it, you know, because they can't stop me. I can ask these questions. Because this campaign isn't a little, it's a huge thing. To have the right to ask questions, and I will be asking them. I'll be there for a week or 2 weeks just asking people questions, because that's what needs to happen. They're failures, because the police say, oh, we learn by our mistakes. They don't learn. Social services don't learn. The government don't learn. Nobody learns about their mistakes, because they get a slap on the wrist. They need serious, serious looking into and redoing things properly for the safety of children and that. And I think a public inquiry would make, you know, would make them be ashamed of what's happened. And one day, I wouldn't surprise me if they'd be digging up Corleone and then. Well, if you've got children coming in from Africa, you've got children coming in, orphans, you know, but groups of them, groups of African children, groups of whatever, nobody's counted in or out. There's no records of any child in 60, 70 years ever stepping onto Corleone Island. They kept no records whatsoever. You can't tell me that something didn't happen, because they're not counted on, they're not counted off. There was no record of, even of me, of any child staying on Corleone Island for the last 60 years, 70 years. Now, how can they justify that? How can they justify if a child drowned or something? How can they justify it? They can't. They can't justify that.
So children weren't accounted for, children that didn't have parents?
Yeah, orphans. Orphan parents. Orphan children who had no parents, through missionaries, would come to Corley Island. And I'm talking loads of them at a time. And, you know, whatever colour, black children or this colour, what, doesn't matter, they were orphans. And they were always orphans or vulnerable children. And that's why they picked on them. And there's a picture in the Daily Mail, the Guardian back in 2008, with Papa Tadeus, and he says, a picture of her day, surrounded by orphans from, I think it's from Africa, and did he. 1971, father child, orphan children. And that's the thing. It was easy picking for them, because if you don't register a child in or out, that wouldn't happen in the UK mainland, would it? You know, if a child goes missing, they know straight away. They wouldn't know over there. They wouldn't know, because they've got no idea who's there. And that is the danger of all that. Children still go today without parents. Also, children through the Catholic Church on the Holy Retreat. They still go today through the Catholic Church. And that is a big worry. Last year, they were advertising their guest house, men and boys only. I made them change that quite quick. And now it's families, you know. But you cannot today say men and boys only on an island of abuse. That's disgusting. And that's the mindset they are over there.
What's next for the campaign?
Carry on. I'm in New Quay this Saturday. I've been there for a couple of weeks. So I'm trying to different places all the time, carrying around and things. And if you want to come and see me, I'm in New Quay. I make recycled copper ware to raise funds. Planes and boats and whatever, and people are very, very, very good. And this campaign today, the BBC have contacted me to do a press for release thing, so it is getting huge, you know. And I got a big following in America, you know, and so it is getting massive, massive. But I've always got one rule: 9 o'clock, I switch off totally. And that way, by the time I go to bed, it's gone. You know, it helps. And I'm on medication for life, and I know that. But I try to commit suicide in the early 80s because everything was getting too much for me, my head or him. And yes, I did try to kill myself. I regret that now. But that's what happened. How many people have killed themselves because of the abuse on Coney Island, because of the failures of the police? You know, and that's the thing, that's what you gotta, you know, it's a lifetime. But once you get the help, I'm very, very grateful for the help. The doctor has been wonderful and everything, and they put you on the right path. And that is a really good help, you know, and that's what people gotta think about. Get the help now, because it's there for you. And it won't cost you a penny, because you get, I think, 3 years or something, counselling free, and that's a thing, and then you can open up to them, and that's a really great help. Big years enough there.
Pretty much.
You can't get all that in, can you?
Well, we've spoken for about an hour.
Would they listen for an hour?
Well, I was listening.
Huh?
I was intently listening.
Yeah, you would listen. People. For an hour. I don't know.
I'm not sure.